Hey, how you guys doing? This is producer from Brothers Comics. Welcome to the Marvel Hacks. It's X-Men 97, y'all. It's part three of this particular series. As the X-Men, the animated cartoon, gets its reboot, we are going to actually go through what was happening in the comic books during the year of 1997. Spoiler alert, not a lot. on the line is Brother Beavis. What's happening, man?
You're saying it's not the golden era of Marvel X-Men?
It is definitely not.
It's a transitionary period, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, some people left the territory, and then, you know, they're coming back with some new angles. But yeah, but before we get to that, we're going to kick it a little bit old school. If you've been on this podcast for a while, we're going to do blurred notes. I'm not sure if I actually have the sounder somewhere on my computers, but it's out there somewhere.
It's funny you said that because, like, I was thinking that was such a, you know, a routine, and I'm like, when's the last time we actually did
it? Yeah, it's been a while. You know, there is a sounder for blurred notes. I would just forget to insert it in post. We're gonna do blurred notes now because there's a couple of things that are going on in the MCU/Disney world, and before we get there, you didn't see Madam Web, right?
No.
Okay. That sadly would have been something that we could have depended on Sandman for. But yeah, I don't even think he bothered with that one. But you did see Morbius, so
he might have bought tickets and been one of the people that returned them, though.
Yeah, because I started this and I can't do it. Side angle topic. Okay, dude, this ain't gonna surprise you. Kind of like Dakota Johnson. kind of built like a dude.
That doesn't surprise me. I did see Morbius, and Morbius is not as bad as the memes would suggest. It's not good. Never mistake what I'm saying there, but it's not as bad as you were led to believe. And it's primarily bad just because Jared Leto is just so
method.
Jared Leto.
Yeah, I understood. Okay. All right, let's get into this. So the first thing that MCU came up with is the official casting or announcing of the cast of the Fantastic Four movie. It's been speculated for years at this point. You know, we had to wait for the transition for the rights to come back or for Disney to buy the rights from Fox. And then people have been speculating, I would say really since WandaVision, that, this is going to happen, and we had that little sneak peek in the Doctor Strange movie, you know, with the alternate universe, or at least with Reed Richards, and nothing, you know, and it's been all over the place, and who was going to be what, blah, 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 so they finally reveal the cast. Pedro Pascal's Reed, that's been out there most recently. Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm. Now, by the way, I'm going to go through these names as if I know who these people are besides Pedro Pascal. Yeah, so I'm just reading. Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, Human Torch, and then Eben Moss Backrack as Ben Grimm Thing. It's going to be set in 1963, so it's going to be old school. Allegedly, the TVA is going to be involved, you know, from the Loki show. What were your thoughts when they finally announced the cast? And Herbie apparently is going to make an appearance as well.
My overriding thought was, who? and I can only add a data point on, well, obviously we know Pedro Pascal, and I think that's fine, I guess. But the only other data point I can add is Joseph Quinn was in Stranger Things as Eddie, who's the Dungeon Master of the Hellfire Club,
okay,
who gets chased by the mob. And I think I've said this before, but like the satanic panics associated with D&D is a little hard for, it's still a little hard for me to watch. That shit was real.
Yeah.
And as an old school gamer, and to see like, as it, just to see it like mainstream now, but know like what, you know, what people thought and said about D&D, it's probably one of the more uncomfortable things for me to see portrayed at this point. So he was good in that role. I guess with this haircut and this picture, I guess I could see it, but I don't equate him in any way to Johnny Storm. So he must have had, you can't call it stunt casting. So apparently they thought whatever he did was good. And then, you know, with the Thing casting, it's like, well, you're going to be mostly orange. So I don't know what it takes to make a decent Thing or whatever. I thought Michael Chiklis was fine, even though he was wearing a lot of foam rubber. But by the same token, there was a certain I don't know. There was a certain advantage to using practical versus just the CGI that we saw in Fant4 Stick. And then as far as Vanessa Kirby, I don't know her.
For a previous podcast, I'm not familiar with your game. So, okay, we'll take that backwards. I don't know who that is. I don't know who the thing is, but I'm sure they have to do a. I can't imagine they're going with the rubber suit, so they go better CGI than what we had in that the other awful movie with Michael B. Jordan. We have affectionately nicknamed Johnny Storm "Dickhead Johnny Storm" on this podcast. So does Joseph Quinn has the ability to be a dick?
He was the smarmy pot smoking high school kid. So maybe.
Yeah. Okay. And then Pedro Pascal, generally, I like him in almost everything that he's in the nerd-related universe. He would not have been my first choice for Reed, though.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really – and again, people, oh, where's Pedro Pascal? Is he Mexican? I don't even know. Like, but it's not that. It's just – I don't know. It's just not – it wouldn't have been who I would have thought for Reed. That's all.
Yeah. I mean – I would say kind of by the same token, like, who's playing the Hulk now? That dude? Like, he wouldn't have been my first pick for the Hulk either. So
yeah, that worked out.
I mean, I think it puts it in a period. The hardest part of Reed is making his powers not look ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean.
He needs to be kind of a dick too. That's not really Pedro Pascal's lane. You know, he's very likable and damn near everything.
Yeah.
You know, and he needs to be kind of a jackass too.
But this does tell us it's going to be it should be a Reed centric movie, right? Because he's clearly the star, the only the person that most people are going to recognize.
Right.
And so, you know, if it's not easy, I mean, I'm sorry, it's not hard to get Johnny and Thing like serviceable and enjoyable. Sue is should be good, but she's, you know, she gets the 1963 Marvel treatment where she's the housewife damsel in distress. Yeah. That's going to be problematic.
Yeah.
She could beat every one of them put together. Mm-hmm. And so if they're going to try and get Reed over, I mean, that's the chore of Fantastic Four, because if you can get Reed to be okay, then I guess there's a story there, but then, you know, then you have to deal with the Rogues Gallery and what are you going to do with Doom? And are you going to use the Doom bullet first or no? I hope that Dr. Doom is not in this.
Yeah, I would pray that he is not either. We've talked consistently on this thing for the 7, 10, however many years we've been doing this about how Fantastic Four kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I mean, Marvel's First Family, blah, 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 blah. But the books, at least of the recent years, and I'm talking recent since the 90s, kind of inconsistent, kind of the same thing over and over again. You don't really have that lot of variety in there. You know, they're kind of baked in the sense that, you know, they're kind of stuck, you know, because they do have their daughter and their son. Yeah, like, it's all of this, you know. I like the idea that the TVA is going to be involved in this, because since they've opened up the idea of the multiverse now, so I like that idea. I would imagine that they're probably in some sort of the same world area where the X-Men are, so you can bring them both in at the same time, essentially. So, I mean, I'm curious, essentially base everything on, like, man, am I going to go see that shit in the movies? I mean, I'll probably see this in the movie theater, but it's probably 75-25 at this point, to be fair.
I mean, I think once we start seeing trailers for it, I think that'll make it clear. But I mean, we used to say in Kevin we trust, right? In Feige we trust, but he kind of, I don't know, he kind of, as they would say, smells his own piss lately. Yes, he has a Lego minifigure. Before Stan Lee has one, but whatever. I still don't know how they're going to make this good. Like, and setting it as a period piece, I think makes a lot of sense, because there's a old school Marvel stank on Fantastic Four, and putting it in that time period can make aspects of their story easier to tell, and you can have Reed, goofy Reed technology stand out as something more significant than you would if it was 2024.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to keep myself cautiously optimistic until disproved. And unless it starts to look like a stinker or we get some pretty bizarre rumors start to come out as it gets closer to release, if we're still, unless we're crossed arms by the time it does come out.
It's got a May 25 release. I'm like, that, unless they've been shooting backgrounds and all of that already, that seems a little soon. Because that seems very optimistic. I can't imagine, but I mean, they've had it for the longest time now. They could have been doing all of their, you know, non-principal photography or whatever, and then the CGI.
And I've said this a bunch, like, Fantastic Four of all the properties is the one that would make sense for like that full CGI Quantumania like movie where they're in the negative zone or they're on some alien planet or whatever. Like that, that would work for the Fantastic Four and make perfect, like, logical comic book sense in a way that some of the other properties don't. So
yeah, get us the space from here, could work from that point. I kind of, we don't get an origin story, but it seems like it's necessary to, whatever. All right. But yeah, I'm optimistically excited, but it could definitely turn very quickly. All right, y'all. The other topic, if you hadn't heard, the X-Men have gone woke, y'all. This comic book that's been out for 50 plus years as a parallel to the civil rights movement in the United States has apparently gone woke. Alert the authorities and your local right-wing nut job, because apparently the X-Men have gone woke. So X-Men 97 coming up. I have the wrong date here if you're watching on YouTube. It's the 23rd of March, I believe. It's premiering on episode-by-episode drops on Saturdays. Picking up at the conclusion of X-Men, the animated series. I watched the series finale of that the other day. I put Let's Watch a Trailer in here, but if I do that, we're going to get blocked, so I'm not going to do it. Everybody's seen it. There's almost 9 million people. A million people have watched it. I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, this looks okay. The animation is not the right word. It's just different than probably maybe what I was expecting or whatever. But there were a couple of hype moments in there. The fact that we'll talk about the character in a second, I was like, oh, shit, Morph is back? Huh. Whatever. Okay. And then, you know, the little bit with Wolverine running behind, or Gambit running behind him and charges his claws at the end, you know, To Me, My X-Men by Scott. There's some pretty hypeable moments. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it now. I mean, so this comic book part was inspired by the fact that the show was coming back. How did you feel about the trailer?
As a Cyclops fan, I was pretty hyped because he's definitely featured in this, with Professor X out of the... We're going to get one of those windows that we get in the comic book periodically where Professor X is on the side. And so Cyclops appears to be poised to step up. And, having seen him be marginalized in many of these cinematic releases.
And the cartoon, welcome. Too, where, and Wolverine and the X-Men, too.
Yeah, but I did like... I mean, you said it looked kind of goofy. Like, I like that it's the same style, but like one of the worst parts of the original run was just the animation. Like the action animation was terrible.
Yes.
So it seems like they tried to keep the style, but then improve the animation. And I think that was definitely needed. So,
yeah, I will be up with my bowl of cereal, cartoon cereal, on that Saturday morning, ready for that to premiere. I'm in one of those situations like, oh, I hope they have enough like server space, because that feels like it's going to be one of those things where it goes down and crashes, because everybody's going to be locked in and locked on, ready to watch this.
Yeah, but I love the fact that it feels like they're using nostalgia in the right way here, right? Mm. They're not trying to come up with something that's like, you know, set to be a remake. Like they're posing it as a direct continuation. Mm. They're bringing the elements of it, you know, whether the costumes, the theme song, so they're really like, it had definitely run its course. Like it needed to end. Yeah. That last season is rough. Yeah. In storytelling and animation.
Yeah.
So it had definitely run its course. And knowing what the release schedule is, I really do think this is the best way to sort of get X-Men back in the discussion.
Yeah.
And hopefully this like streamlines what, when they finally do make a live action, if we're not crossed arms, you know, then we can cut through like a lot of the background and just get into it.
Yeah. You would hope so, that we don't have to do a team building thing, or is that movie going to be set in 1963 too with the Fantastic Four, you know what I'm saying? Like where they have those, you know, kind of premiering and debuting in and around the same time and around one another. But that would be it goofy as you get, you know, can't have Cyclops from 1963. Well, I guess he gets transported in timeline, whatever. It doesn't matter. The biggest issue I had was the aftermath of this, y'all. Like, the trailer was hype. We were, like, pretty excited about it. But as always, the internet ruins everything. So, the online discourse really centered initially on Morph. Morph is back. I was shocked by that. Morph is back. And, you know, like, I guess one of the producers or the writers was like, yeah, you know, Morph is non-binary or whatever. And then, like, oh, you know, all of those reactionary videos on YouTube. Oh, you know, Disney's gone woke and, you know, it's already been ruined and all this kind of stuff. Okay, first off, let me state this as clearly and concisely as I can. Nobody gives a fuck about Morph. I don't think I can make that any more clear. Like, to the point of, I was like, oh shit, Morph is back? I hadn't thought about Morph since Age of Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
The comic books. What was that, 95?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, Nobody cares. Nobody's been pining for Morph. Apparently, he's been in the books I've seen online, you know, whatever, and he's consistently changing and showing himself as dressed as a woman and doing all these things. He's just, gender neutral. Okay. Why would anybody care, man? Tell me why anybody would care about Morph.
Yeah, and like he's a character so minor they had to change his name to avoid copyright conflict. To have like, I don't know who the candidates were for whoever. Oh no, I think they did see that they were gonna actually put Thunderbird in it and kill him off, consistent with the comics, but they're like, yeah, we probably can't kill off minority characters like right away.
Yeah.
So, like, they had to recycle the Changeling, but they can't call him that because that's Beast Boy's old name. So he became Morph. And, like, he wasn't the best part of that show. Like, no. The fact that they killed somebody was the best part of that show. Because that was like, wow, this is a Saturday morning cartoon. And he just got, like, obliterated by Sentinels. This shit just got real. And then, you know, his return arc was whatever. He was fine. But yeah, I only care about him because he was in the show. I have no vested interest in him, and it makes perfect sense. Like, this ability is to change everything about his body, and like they've portrayed Mystique as, you know, gender fluid in terms of shape, but also a lesbian, and it's not like this is just this unprecedented thing. Like.
Yeah.
Why must he be, you know, why must he identify as male? He can change everything about himself.
Right. And the online discourse is, oh, well, the X-Men was always, it was more subvert about them being minorities. I was like, have you lost your mind?
Yeah. If it was in any way subtle, it was because they were pushing as hard as they could up to the limit of what they felt like they could get away with.
Correct.
In the 60s and forward. Right. So,
yeah. It's insane. I'm like, what comic books did you read?
Yeah, yeah. It's like anyone who says this, like the first response should be, have you ever read an X-Men comic book? If not, then never speak to that person again because they're just trash.
I my tweet that got some traction on there, I was like, white people complaining about this is like them listening to the words and not the beat. When they dance, like you have no idea what the fuck is happening here. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's been overt. It has been plainly stated about this. Now, again, we've talked about most recently about like, it's kind of weird to have that dynamic in a world where everybody, well, not everybody, where there's so many superheroes. Like, yeah, you know, we're cool with Thor, but we hate these dudes. like, oh, because they were born that way. It's a little bit whatever. And I think they've tried to push back a little bit about that, a little bit, especially during Krakoa. But nobody cares about Morph, man.
Mm-hmm.
So then they moved on from Morph, and then there was more animation. And again, if you're on YouTube, they released this thing of Storm, and they were like, oh, you know, she's looks like a man now. I'm like, I can't
with people.
I just can't. Like, you can't tell me that there isn't dark money. I don't even know if it's that dark. I don't even know if it's that dark, but there's dark money in coming from somewhere that just shoots this shit out for engagement and for profit, just to like to take the piss out of things that people might enjoy.
There's definitely a narrative that's looking for a home. And we have found repeatedly, whether it be video games, movies, cartoons, comics, whatever, like that frequently provides a, you know, a home for a narrative that was going to find a home someplace else. And it's looking for anything with engagement. And the downside of a lot of this stuff that forever has been marginalized becoming mainstream is now that it's a target to spread the narrative that's going to exist, to try and influence stupid people.
Yeah. I mean, and they are stupid because, and it feels like initially, if we go over after the years, I'm like, this is just fake engagement. Like people are just, whatever. But over time, no, I really think these people believe this shit. Like, I think if you freaking echo chamber yourself enough on like this stuff on YouTube, like you will really start to believe this.
Crap. Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you really will believe that the X-Men were never really about like social dynamics and exposing racism and prejudices or whatever. Like you would really start to believe it.
Yeah, there's a self-licking lollipop to this. It's like you've seed it with, you seed it with something, and then people that are just like you said, have echo chambered themselves, will just then find places to spread that message. So
right. Yeah. And go ahead. Sorry.
And I was going to say, putting pants on somebody does not make them look like a man. Like that, that picture does not make me be like,
ugh. Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm gay because I like Storm. No.
Yeah.
It's still hot as fuck. And we know, having read the books, exactly where this look stems from.
Exactly. It's just, it's insane that they've gone to this point. And it's like were you, it has to be. Like, oh, you were born in, like, when the X-Men animated series came out. So what did that make you, what, 20, 30,
94? Well, it came out 95? In 92, right?
No, 94.
It ran for 5 years.
Oh, okay, so yeah, you're right. So 92, what, 2002, 22. So
you would be 30 now, right?
Yes, ish, right. Yeah, so it has to be the people under 30 that are just, that grew up on the internet. They didn't need to read the comic books because you had the shows and the movies. And then you wouldn't have to, you know what I'm saying? Like nobody, God, you wouldn't think anybody over the age of 40 would be this stupid, but
I would think that like the more racist, sexist stuff is going to come from older people, but I don't know.
Yeah. Ugh, God. Yeah. Whatever. And then the last one, this is for us.
Like, let me jump in on this one more time. So, like the disturbing part about this picture is, if we recall, in the books when Storm changed her look, she was mammying Kitty Pryde at the time, and Kitty Pryde was outraged that she had lost her mammy.
Yeah,
and to see Jubilee, which is our Kitty Pryde stand-in, seemingly pleased with this change in Storm. Now I feel like they've missed the point of like, is she still mammying this look? I don't understand exactly.
Yeah, we'll
what's
have
happening.
To find out. Yeah, I can't wait till that Saturday. Honestly, I mean, I'm really excited to just be like, to watch this with my kid and be like, oh, this is going to be something. You know, I've tried to go back and watch that final season because it looks like Xavier's back in charge. Xavier goes off with the Shi'ar when he gets sick, which again is a comic book lift, Magneto's back and going to be doing something at the school. So essentially we're at X-Men 200. Where are these stories coming from? Are we doing like direct lifts from the comics like we did, or are we starting to just make shit up? Like
they're doing Madeline Pryor.
Okay, I didn't hear
The Goblin Queen's going to be in it. Nice. I think there's a trial of Magneto coming.
That would be right on the thing there from where we are. So, and then what's the rating here? You know, off the top, I thought was it TV 14. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, again, I'm hoping that they have figured out a way to be like, look, this is because as much as we like the original one, it is kind of kid. We're like in our mid 20s. We're kind of like, they were kind of kid stories that we could kind of latch on to. Like there's a more mature voice that you could tell without making it over the top. Like I wonder if they will adapt to the audience that watched the show, not trying to make the show for like, you know, 12, 13, 14 year olds who, you know, at that point, what do they care about the X-Men? You know, knowing the audience of who's actually watching this. So it's the person paying the bill for freaking Disney Plus, not the person necessarily watching it, all of it.
Does it come on like actual Saturday morning? Is that like when it?
I think it's going to premiere like the episode will be available Saturday morning.
Great. I like that too. I mean,
yeah, I do. And episodic too. Yeah.
Yeah. We've lamented like the loss of Saturday morning cartoons in another one of our threads here. So, you know, that I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And the fact that it is episodic, like, you know, because again, binging has its purposes for certain shows. I don't know that Saturday morning cartoons are it. Like, I think you have to be able to just take it in, digest it, and then move on. You're like a couple of shows here and there, but maybe like, oh, I just watched all 10 episodes.
Right.
Like, oh, that seems like a little bit much. So, all right. Again, then the other thing too, we said, if you're watching online, the Rogue discourse, you know, because she lost all her cakes, you know. Like what happened to Rogue's cakes? That's more for us than anything, you know. And it's so funny that people like, oh, going off and making all these threads about this online, and we're talking about it too to be stupid. But like, it was like one frame 5 years ago, and people still remember it. So I'm just saying,
it's like universally like etched in memory. Like,
yeah, because. Every nerd was watching it and was like, hey, whoa, what happened to Rogue? Why is she all caked up? Oh, goodness gracious. And I sent y'all that one where they had switched the roles or whatever.
Yeah, like, Apocalypse.
The Apocalypse all caked up. All right. So, yeah. So, yeah, again, if you're listening to us, you're probably not stupid. The X-Men been woke since its inception. It was created to be woke, if you want to use that word, which you shouldn't be using anyway. It was meant to be able to push you beyond thinking what you were thinking. Again, people that think the X-Men are woke, cheer for the Empire. It's Star Wars. Yeah, there's no doubt. They're like, I love Luke Skywalker, but you were actually.
But I think Emperor Palpatine had some good points.
Yeah, exactly. No, Palpatine was misunderstood. The trains were running on time. All right. Awful. All right.